Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by introducing the redesigned CatholicSingles.com, featuring new ways that put the spotlight on the person and their faith, not just a profile picture. For the past 20 years, faithful Catholics have used CatholicSingles.com, and the reimagined CatholicSingles.com website is ready to help single Catholics take the next step in sharing meaningful relationships with other faithful Catholics. Remember, CatholicSingles.com for faith, fellowship, and love.
And welcome to Real Living. This is Lavinia Spirito with Mary Lou Nemechek. And we have been in the middle of the book of Isaiah, which we will conclude, but we thought we'd take a little break today to just address a wonderful video that I posted on our Catholic Way Bible Study Facebook page. You can find it also on the Renewal Ministries Facebook page and on the St. Paul Center, posted by Scott Hahn. So there's at least three different ways you can find it. You can also go to YouTube. If you enter YouTube, Ralph Martin Scott Hahn at the Applied Biblical Institute Conference in 2019. So there's several ways that you can approach this video. It's not very long, but I find it extremely comforting and encouraging and convicting and sobering, obviously, addressing the uncertainties of our day. Mary Lou, what did you think of this video?
I thought the video was timeless, that the topics and the approach and the descriptions of the crisis of truth really relate to certain things that we're faced with today. So it was very, I thought, reassuring and helpful, quite frankly.
And that's kind of why I put it out there. I tend to repost a lot of stuff that Renewal Ministries does, but that's because the content is so good. And there's no point reinventing the wheel either, you know, just good stuff. You just put it out there. So today we are going to talk about issues that are sparked from this conversation between Dr. Ralph Martin and Dr. Scott Hahn at the recent Applied Biblical Institute conference in Steubenville, Ohio, sponsored, of course, by Franciscan University of Steubenville. In July of 2019. So that's where we are. The issues that are raised by them are, I don't think, unless you've been living under a rock, that any of this is a surprise. I think that many of us may have noticed various issues, whether it's the crisis of authority in the church, whether it's corruption at the highest levels of the church, whether it's complicit bishops, grossly sinful priests, whatever it is, it's quite discouraging, I think, for many of us. When you add to that the fact that, you know, we are basically the press's whipping boy, the Catholic Church is, we have lost just about as much moral authority as we ever had in the public square. And it's discouraging. However, Jesus is Lord. You know, I just keep coming back to that. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. It's none of this stuff is taking Jesus by surprise. He's not in heaven reading his email saying, "Holy cow, what happened?" You know, he knows. He has the past, the present, and the future firmly in his hand. So the consolation for me, and I don't know about you, Mary Lou, is that when sin abounds, grace abounds.
Abounds all the more, right.
All the more, right?
Right.
The greatest saints of the church have come out during times of crisis just like this, you know?
But I keep looking for those new ones to appear right now.
Well, you know, we know a lot of modern day saints, you and I do, you know, people who have been in ministry for a long time, people, even saints who are just raising their family the way they think God wants them to do. You know what I'm saying? They don't have to necessarily be out there in the middle in the public square. But I think you and I actually should be comforted by the saints that we do know.
Exactly.
That they may not have saint before their name, live life, a sacramental life with him. And you do everything that you can. That's, there you are. You're a saint, you know. Hopefully you'll grant it. We're all granted the grace of perseverance until the end, you know, because that's kind of what we need. Yeah. What do you think?
Well, you know, when I think about Ralph Martin, who gave the talks, wrote this book, who you have known for years and years, you know, he's been doing this for over 40 years now. But it really wasn't until, in my mind, until more recently, that all the fruits of his work over the years has really blossomed. And, you know, all those, and when he wrote this book was in the early 80s, when he was just, because of this book is how Renewal Ministries got started. It's wonderful to see that all that hard work and just trying to follow what God was, he felt was directing him to do, has been such a benefit to so many people. You know, what a legacy it is.
I know, right? He's, it says in the video that he's 76, about to turn 77. I've known him since 1974, so that's a long time ago. I was 17 at the time. I think he was in his 30s, late 20s, 30s. In the Lord, and it, he says that very humbly during this video, which I really recommend you all go and find if you can. I am going to post these radio shows on our Facebook page. And remember that our show, A Real Living, is can be found also on iTunes podcast app. So if you have the iTunes podcast app and you look for Real Living, there we are. And you can follow us and you can subscribe to us and know and be notified whenever a new show drops, etc. In this case, Ralph, in the, okay, so I remember what happened. I moved to University of Michigan in 1976 to go to college, but mostly to be part of a community that Ralph had helped found. It was called the Word of God Community, and it was an ecumenical covenant charismatic community, meaning that Catholics weren't the only ones there. There were other Christian traditions as well. And it was, it worked beautifully. It was just fabulous. It was quite the you know, I had the time of my life, basically. I was in the dorm district of the University of Michigan. And I would dare say that my university experience is quite different from a lot of other people's university experience. It wasn't until I had children and went to college and I realized just how different my my university experience was, because I was part of a community. And I was protected from a lot of stuff. I was also encouraged to grow in holiness, and all this due to, of course, the vision that Ralph had. But immediately, like, it seems like I moved in 1976, and at the end of 1976, Ralph went to Belgium. He was invited to Belgium by Cardinal Leon Joseph Sunens of Belgium, who was one of the four moderators of the Second Vatican Council. Who had a great admiration for Ralph and for his community and for the communities that had been spawned by his vision across the world, because they're still there, and invited him to live with him in Brussels to kind of learn from Ralph how to have Christian community. I mean, that's pretty amazing and humbling, too. Mm-hmm. And so what happened is he ended up traveling with Cardinal Sunens all over the world, all over the world. But what was interesting was this is what he says in this talk, in the conversation he has with Scott Hahn, that as he was basically visiting with the global church, he realized that there was a continuity of crisis that was happening. There was stuff that was happening. There were people standing up, theologians, respected theologians, saying things like, well, you know, the doctrine that was given to us through the scriptures and through the apostles can change. You know, they called it development of doctrine, which is a thing. It can develop, but it cannot develop into what it's never been. You know,
exactly. I
mean, you can't develop a human being into a billy goat. You know, whatever you are in essence and in potentiality, that is what you are going to be when you are developed further. But unfortunately, what was going on, there was a lot of the loosey-goosey morality going on in at the end of the 60s and the 70s, heavily influenced, of course, by the 1968 sexual revolution, which was really more of a cultural revolution than anything else. So what happened was you had a lot of priests and bishops and theologians saying things like, well, you know, divorce doesn't matter. As long as people love each other, fornication doesn't matter. As long as, you know, your conscience is clear and you protect the environment, you can do whatever you want, you know, that kind of thing. Which you may recognize a little bit. Now, here's the deal. You recognize a tree from its fruit. The fruit of the 70s, the fruit of the 60s in the Catholic Church has been pretty much a disaster. How do we get the pedophilia scandals of the early 2000s? Because we had generations of people who were brought in through the seminaries, and they were told that sexual morality is an objective thing and that anybody can do their own thing. You know, we were in the mess that we found ourselves in the 2000s and then later on because a couple of generations of that, you know, that it's situational. You also, unfortunately, had a series of scholarship that kind of emerged its ugly head from the end of the 19th century. So from the late 1800s, there was a lot of Protestant modern scholarship that fostered this doubt on the scriptures. You know, it was the question biblique, as Scott Hahn, the biblical question. How should we take the scriptures? Are they the inerrant word of God? Or are they a collection of writings that sometimes are relevant, but for the most part, they can be placed within their time and location, and they don't really, you know, have a lot to say to us in terms of absolute truth. That was when the poisonous...
As we turned into the more modern world, you know, to how are we going to make things more relevant to the modern times, I think was kind of a excuse given for some of the things that were being carried out in, as you were saying, in writings and, you know, the explanations that priests and others may have been giving out concerning morality or different things that really were not quite on target.
That's right.
Trying to fit into the society and what was going on and all the upheavals of the 60s and all of that, because I remember having grown up in the 60s that, you know, if you lived with someone outside of marriage, that was a sin, that was wrong. But as time went on, it became more and more common. And I would say in today's world, not much attention is given to it. It's become more accepted.
Well, it's become the norm. In Italy, nobody ever gets married anymore. You know, like in Europe, sacramental marriage has gone down. I mean, basically, the exception has replaced the norm. It used to be you need the sacrament of marriage. Now it's you know, people, you know, we used to tell ourselves, kidding ourselves, obviously, or maybe we got the advice from well-meaning priests and bishops, oh, your kids are away from the church now, but they'll come back when they get married, or they'll come back when they baptize their kids. But unfortunately, we have seen in the 21st century that a lot of the kids who leave the church after confirmation never come back. Why? Because they don't get married sacramentally. They want to get married on a cliff. They want to get married on a beach. They want to get married, you know, parachuting out of an airplane. You know, all things that I've seen are people getting married when they were scuba diving.
Right. One of the things Ralph mentions as he was, you know, concerned about what he was reading was that, and we'll talk about this because the series of talks he gave was on faith, morality, and mission. But in doing that, what he discovered was scripture, how important that was. And he wasn't a scripture scholar, of course. But it leads me to the fact that having been in Bible study, and I love scripture, that unless you have that foundation of scripture, you've got nothing to rest on. There's no foundation, and how important that really is. And I think that explains why some people can rationalize, can live a life claiming to be, you know, Catholic and truly feeling that they are living the faith in totality. But without that foundation of scripture, you're going to lose what faith and morality and mission actually means. Does that make
sense? That's right. That's right. And he actually said that the minute we became detached from the inerrancy and the relevancy of scripture, then it's basically anything goes.
You know, mm-hmm. it's whatever Bishop so-and-so says. It's whatever the theologian says. It's whatever, you know. We do need the magisterium, but we need a magisterium that is faithful, you know.
Exactly.
A magisterium that's informed and faithful and all that stuff. So we tried to trace it back to you. Most of it was, the unanchoring, the detaching of the church from the idea of Scripture, which unfortunately, during the Second Vatican Council, if you remember anything about that, one of the main aims or goals of the council, Second Vatican Council, was to reconnect with the Scriptures. It was to reconnect with the patristic fathers. It was to reconnect. It was ressourcement, it was called, going back to the sources. And I think some of that did occur. We see the flowering of that in the 90s and the teens. But at the time of the 70s and 80s, it was pretty much across the board. Historical critical method, which was a kind of an agnostic, atheistic tool, a materialistic tool, in the hands of people who were not properly formed or didn't have a relationship with the Lord, unfortunately. Or even for people who were well-meaning but couldn't tell the difference.
Right.
Oh, I guess... I guess Jesus didn't really walk on water. Oh, how could I ever believe that? Oh, I guess Jesus never multiplied the loaves. It's that kind of scholarship that you may have encountered. Unfortunately, that kind of stuff, it did poison a whole. I mean, when I go and I give retreats and I talk to priests and all that stuff, I usually know the older priests. This is obviously a gross overgeneralization. The older priests are the ones who've been formed in the 70s, whereas the young ones who were formed at a John Paul II and Benedict the 16th usually are a little more grounded in what it means to be the Scriptures of the Church, and also to know where to find it, you know, where to interpret them, you know, et cetera. But that's just,
you know, another important thing coming out of the council was ecumenism, you know, and that is good. However, what it kind of overshadowed was the mission, because the mission is to go out and to convert others. And as we'll go into, you know, one of the things that Ralph notes is that it was like a situation not to impose our faith on others. And that way they're going to, if you don't go out and have missionaries, then how are you going to explain to people salvation and their relationship, personal relationship with the Lord and everything else that comes with this wonderful faith that Jesus left for us? And it created such a, missed opportunity, if you know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely. But as Ralph, as I've a phrase that I have stolen, and I will admit it here from Ralph, hook, line, and sinker is, unless you know the bad news, the good news is no news. And unfortunately,
that's true,
right? The Scriptures give you the bad news.
Yeah.
And the good news.
Yeah.
So it's usually the crisis of truth. He recorded it in Minneapolis, and it was a series of five talks. One is, and you can find him on YouTube. So I would recommend you all go listen to them. One was called The Attack on Truth and Morality. The other one was called The Uniqueness of Jesus. The third talk was called The Second Coming. The fourth talk was called The Attack on God's Word, which is what we've been talking about. And then finally, the last talk was The Coming Judgment. Now, you know, Ralph has the gift of prophetic preaching and prophetic teaching, and he's always been a strong prophet. And I think in this case, especially the last talk, The Coming Judgment, was spot on, right? Because mm-hmm. there is judgment. It's now. God is using the press, the government, the ridicule of the media and academia and all that stuff to discipline his church. And judgment has come. And, you know, we studied the book of Isaiah. You know, God will use the Gentiles to discipline his chosen people if his chosen people don't do that first.
I want to put in a plug for his booklet, The Final Confrontation,
right,
which addresses all of that. And it's really quite good.
Right. The Final Confrontation, you can find that on renewalministries.net under ebooks, and it's free. And it's actually a summation of the talk on the Second Coming and the talk on the Coming Judgment that Ralph gave so long ago. These are, I think, 1981, 82, 83, 84. And he really felt like the Lord had put this on his heart. And what he did, the typical firebrand that he was, he went around all over talking and speaking about the crisis of truth. It was at that point that Father Mike Scanlon, dear departed Father Mike Scanlon, who was the president of the University of Steubenville, Franciscan University of Steubenville, partnered with Ralph, and they went around traveling all over the world giving this message of the crisis of truth, the attack on morality, on faith, first of all, through the undermining of scripture, morality, and the mission of the church, which we will explore next time in our next show. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, this is international Catholic singer Anna Nuzzo, inviting you to join me and Father Dan Cambra of the Marian Fathers on a select international tour's Divine Mercy pilgrimage to Poland and the Czech Republic. It takes place in September of 2019, and we would love for you to join us. For more information, go to my website, annanuzzo.com. Thank you, and God bless.
BreadBox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.